Our topic for today is the evidence. I have a question that I want you to ponder. Does God expect mankind to accept Him based on nothing? Does God expect us to believe that the Bible is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth based on nothing? The answer is no. God does expect mankind to believe, but He expects him to believe based on evidence. How do we know that God exists? How do we know that the Bible is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? We know this based on evidence. We know this based on absolute proof and irrefutable evidence. And the Bible says that this proof and this evidence is something that is called faith. I want to look in the book of Hebrews. But before we go to Hebrews, that chapter, Hebrews 11, that is called the faith chapter, I want to state for the record that the only religion and truth that leads to God is a religion and truth that comes from God. John 6:44, Jesus said that no man can come to God except God draw him. The work of salvation is a work that God accomplishes from start to finish. No man can come to the Lord except the Lord draw him. We see that in Eden when mankind first fell. Mankind, after he rebelled against God, after he sinned against his Maker, was fleeing from God. And the Bible records that God went in search of man. God called out to lost man, "Where art thou?" And so it has been ever since the fall of man. God has been in search of you. God has been in search of mankind. We have not sought out God, but He has sought us out and drawn us to Himself. And He also provides for us the evidence that He exists and that His word is true. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13, "It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." God does all of the work. And we are so eternally grateful and thankful for that. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 11. I want to just look at verse 6 first. The Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the Bible says. That means that it is absolutely necessary to have faith. It is something that cannot be absent. The Bible says without it, it is impossible to please God. Therefore, it is of absolute necessity that we have faith. The Bible, over in the book of Romans, chapter 14 and verse 23, it records there that he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That means that faith is very important. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. These texts relate something to us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That means it is absolutely necessary. It is very important. So the question then arises, what is faith? What is it? And let's look to see what the Word of God says. This thing that is so absolutely necessary. This thing that without it, it would be impossible for us to please God. Without it, everything we do would be sin. What is it? The Bible. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says that faith is first substance, and it is evidence. Faith is substance, and it is evidence. I want to look at verse 3 over here in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. That means that the invisible things are the source of the things that are visible. The invisible realities produced the material and tangible things we see and feel and experience. The true source from which everything comes is invisible, according to the Word of God. Real reality, the source reality, is invisible. You know, when we consider things in a broader scale, we have plenty examples of things that are invisible, yet they are substance, yet they are evidence, yet they are real. Like sound, for example. We don't see sound, but it's real. We experience it, we hear it, but we don't see it. We do not see the air that we breathe. But just try not breathing for a minute or two and see whether or not you have a serious problem or begin to have a serious problem. The radio waves by which our radio functions, they are real. We do not see them. The electricity by which so many of our appliances function, we do not see, but it is real. And we could go on. The list goes on. But because a thing is invisible, it does not mean that it does not exist. And we have many examples in the sphere in which we exist as humankind of things that are invisible, yet we know that they exist. Yet we depend on them. And so now faith, though it is invisible, is still substance, and it is evidence. Though faith is invisible, it is spiritual. It is a virtue. It is a trait of character. The Bible says faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is a gift of the Spirit. And it is real. It is substance, and it is evidence that is given to us by God. It is called faith. By faith and through faith, we have the ability and capacity to have spiritual eyes. By faith and through faith, we have the capacity and ability to receive. We have the wherewithal to grasp that which is invisible. As a matter of fact, by faith, we can live in the realm and in the atmosphere of the invisible. Through faith, we can live and abide in the very presence of God. We can live and abide in the very atmosphere of heaven. Through the spiritual virtue, through the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit, which is called faith. Its substance and its evidence. It is invisible, yet God says it is substance and its evidence, and it's given to humankind by God. One thing we need to note here is that some things need to be experienced in order to know of absolute certainty what they are. Faith is one of those things. A man who does not have faith looks at the man who has faith, and he feels like that man is just plain foolish. But the man who has faith has all that he needs. He has all of the proof. He has all of the evidence that he needs in order to know of absolute certainty that God exists and that his word is true. Because the man who has faith experiences God constantly. He experiences God realistically and experientially. It has changed his life, his heart, his mind. He communes with God. He talks with God. He experiences God. He knows God's touch. He knows God's spirit. He experiences God's presence. But the man who does not have faith does not experience or understand any of these things, and he's blind. And he feels like the man who has faith is pretty much out of his mind. And he just cannot comprehend how this man can believe in something that doesn't exist to him. Because he cannot see it, because he cannot feel it, he does not believe that it exists. But the man of faith, who both sees it with the spiritual eye and experiences it constantly, knows from experience, daily experience, that God is real, his truth is the absolute truth. He abides in the presence of God. He talks with God and God talks with him. God touches his heart, moves his spirit, controls his life, enlightens his mind. God has changed his heart, governs and controls his nature. God is his all in all. He does all of this. He grasps all of this. He maintains all of this through the reality of faith, the substance and evidence of faith. It is invisible, but it is substance, and it is evidence. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus lived by faith. He came to this earth to live for us. He came to this earth to die for us. And he came to this earth to show us how to live, to show us how to live the victorious life. Jesus lived a life of faith. And through that faith, he was victorious. And now, he sits down at the right hand of the throne of God. He shows us, he has shown us, that faith works. And that faith grasps the victory. And so we follow the example of Jesus, but more than that, by God's grace, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. The faith that we have is the faith that we receive from Jesus. It is the same type of faith. It is the same quality faith that Jesus had. Jesus is the author and finisher of it. When we have Jesus, we also have the faith of Jesus. I want to look in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12, and it's talking about the people who will be upon the face of the earth at the very end of time. And remember, the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Don't tell me that preaching the book of Revelation is not preaching the gospel. The book of Revelation, at the beginning of this book, the first couple verses says the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel. It is the revelation of our Lord and Savior, of his works, of his ultimate victory over sin, and what he will do in the very end of time to accomplish this victory. Verse 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. They keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Two identifying marks of the remnant people of God in the very end of time. Two identifying marks. They keep the commandments of God, and they have the faith of Jesus. Not just any faith, but the faith of Jesus. The same type of faith Jesus had. The same quality faith that Jesus had. All faith is not saving faith. The faith of Jesus is the faith that saves. You know, we are human beings, and because we are beings of limitation, we all exercise faith every day to some degree. But that faith is not saving faith. When I go out and get into my car to drive from point A to point B, I do not know that my car is going to take me there, but I believe that it will. So by faith, I get into my car and drive. And by God's grace, I end up there. But it required faith. When I go to the store and buy a can of string beans and I bring it home, I do not know of absolute certainty that string beans are in there. It could be something else. It could be poison in the can. But I don't believe that. I believe that a string beans in there. So I open it up. I eat it. I even feed it to my children because I believe that it's string beans. I believe that it's not poison. I believe that everything is fine. That's an exercise of faith. When I just go and simply sit on a chair, I don't know that that chair is going to hold me. The leg could fall off of it. I could fall over and hit my head on the edge of a table and knock myself unconscious. That's possible. But I don't believe that that's going to happen. I believe that the chair is going to hold me. So I sit down in full confidence. The chair holds me by God's grace, and all is well. We exercise faith every day, all day, because we are beings of limitation. That faith is not saving faith. But it's faith. But saving faith, the faith of Jesus, is a different caliber faith. It is the type of faith that causes us to submit to God to the point where we allow God to perform his operation on us. The greatest of all miracles we allow God to perform in our lives. We submit ourselves to God to obey God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we submit to God and we let God be God and Jesus be Lord. We yield ourselves to his providences and to his will and to his cause. Faith obeys. That's why the Bible says faith works. Faith is not dead. Faith is effective. Faith gets results. You see, a man who says he has faith, but he disobeys God. He lives for the devil. He lives in adultery. He drinks, he lies, he steals, he cheats. He does not have faith. Faith obeys. Faith works. Faith is effective. Faith is successful. Faith grasps victory. Faith grasps power. Faith is the faith of Jesus. That's saving faith. With that faith comes power. Power to obey. Power that purifies the soul. I want to look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. The Bible says, "Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Through the gift of faith, and of course faith is a gift from God. The only thing that leads to God is that which comes from God. God imparts into us faith, the faith of Jesus, saving faith. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a gift of the Spirit. God gives to us faith. If you want faith, go to God, and He alone is the only one who can give you this substance and this evidence. But through faith, we grasp the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, the Bible says, even our faith. Faith grasp what is in the realm of the invisible. Faith allows us to live in and move into the realm of the invisible, the realm of the power of God, the realm of a heavenly atmosphere. Through faith, through that substance, through that evidence, it allows us to move into that realm, abide in that realm, and be empowered from a source that we cannot see, we cannot touch, but it is real. As a matter of fact, it is the source reality. Everything that's visible, everything that's tangible, comes from that source. And by faith, we are now enabled to access that invisible source. It is a gift from God. It is a blessing that God bestows upon us. And for that, we are eternally grateful. Now I want to point out one very important final point. And that is, we must understand that faith is based on the word and promises of God. I need for you to listen to me carefully. Faith is not based on our imagination and our will. False religion has taught men to think like this. False religion has taught men to say that I can just pray for anything, and if I believe that I will get it, I will get it. So they imagine that they would like to have a Rolls Royce, $1 million, be the CEO of some great big company, and they imagine all types of things, and they think that faith is a means by which they force God to do their will. They think that faith is a method that they can use that constrains God to do what they want done. It's not so. Faith is based on the word and promises of God. We can ask in faith and know that we received because God has already promised it. If God has not already promised it, we cannot of absolute certainty know that that is what we're going to receive. We can make a request, but if God hasn't promised me that He's going to give me $1 million, it's presumptuous and it is a lie. That is the brainchild of the devil to teach a person that if whatever they imagine, faith, if they have it, will get it for them. That is not true. And so many multiplied millions all over the world have this false concept. Faith is based on the word and promises of God. And the primary thing that faith grasps are the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Too often in this world, because people are unborn again and carnal minded, they use faith. They seek to use faith to grasp material things, money and clothes and possessions. And if they want a wife or a husband, they want to use faith to satisfy their own lust and desires. It's the misuse of faith. Faith is not used that way and cannot be used that way. Faith is based on the word and promises of God. Faith primarily grasps the spiritual realities of God, the fruits of the Spirit. Those are the major things we want, the gifts of the Spirit. Certainly, by faith, we can ask God if we need clothing and food and the bare necessities of life. But the attitude of faith is the thing that I want to sensitize us to in a strong way. And we look at this in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. This lesson was taught to us by the Master. I want you to know today that true faith submits to God. True faith depends on God. True faith obeys God. True faith lets God be God. True faith allows Jesus to be Lord of our lives. It's content to trust and let God decide. You don't decide something and then demand that God do it. That's not how faith works. Faith does not control God. Faith does not instruct God what he must do. Faith is not lordship over God. Faith is not a way to work my will and make God work according to my will. That's a misconception. That is a lie that is taught in the religious world today. Faith submits to God. And here is the true language of faith. Jesus taught it to us in his ultimate hour upon the face of the earth. Luke 22 and verse 42, Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, this is Jesus saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That is the true language and attitude of faith, the faith of Jesus. Genuine faith, saving faith. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. We make our requests, that's fine. But our attitude, our mindset, the language that we use is not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. See, your law, Lord, your will is perfect. Your will is best for me. I don't know what is best for me. I know what I think, but I do not know. So now, not my will, thy will be done. See, faith submits to God. It lets God be God. Faith depends on God. See, faith lets Jesus be Lord of my life. It allows Jesus to say yes or no, and it's content. It allows Jesus to say, wait, and it's content. It obeys God. It is content to trust God. It is content to trust the Lord and let the Lord and the God and Savior of their soul make the final decision. And it's content with that. That's the true attitude and language of the faith of Jesus. Not my will, but thy will be done. And Lord, help us to be submissive like that with the Savior and Bishop of our soul. Lord, help us to depend on our Savior with that attitude. Let's, by God's grace, grasp the true faith, the faith of Jesus, the faith that lets God be God, and it lets Jesus be Lord, Lord of our lives. All that we are and all that we own, we submit ourselves to God. And we are content that when we ask God for something, that whatever way He works it out, we are content with that because we know that all things work together for our good because we love the Lord. We know that God is faithful. We know that God cannot err. He will not err. He's too good to withhold something that is good for us or best for us. And He will never do anything that will harm us to any degree. Though sometimes things are painful and we don't understand them, they're confusing. They may upset us. But at the same time, we know that all things work together for our good. We trust God. We have the faith of Jesus. We let Jesus be Lord and God be God. We let God make the final decision. Why? Because we are content to trust God. We have the faith of Jesus. The two characteristics that those who will be saved in the end of time have: they keep the commandments of God and they have the faith of Jesus. The evidence is faith, yea, even the faith of Jesus. It is a gift that is given to us by God. It is a gift of the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Jesus is the author and the finisher of it. And when we have Jesus, we have the faith of Jesus. It grows, it matures, it blossoms, it expands, but it comes from Jesus. It's a gift of God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we're thankful that even now you have begun to impart into us the evidence, that which is absolute proof and irrefutable evidence, Lord. We thank you that you have even now begun to impart that into us, even the faith of Jesus. Now, Lord, as the disciples of old prayed, strengthen our faith. And help us to grasp this faith and hold on to it. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Yes, even the faith of Jesus. And through the faith of Jesus, we will keep the commandments of God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Bless us. Keep us. In Jesus' name. Amen.